in complete dependence upon our Lord to help us. I would direct your prayerful attention to the Gospel of John, chapter 16 and verse 13. The Gospel of John, chapter 16 and verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. The whole verse reads, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The 13th verse of the 16th chapter of John's Gospel. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Dear friends, this appearing of the Spirit is so vital, isn't it, for the saving of our souls, that we may know assuredly the sacred truth of Jesus, who gave himself a sacrifice for sins. For he is the only acceptable sacrifice before God, that sinners who trust in Jesus, who believe in him, who are taught by the Spirit, why the Father looks upon him. He sees the travail of his soul, and he's satisfied that love's redeeming work is done. He has fought the fight against the spirit of evil, against Satan, and he has won the battle. That all those for whom Christ died, dear friends, they're saved. They're saved from the wrath of God to come on account of sin. It's the one thing needful, isn't it? Jesus said, one thing is needful. Oh, that gracious woman, blessed woman Mary, had chosen that good part, and it would not be taken away from her. You know, this text is so much akin to the experience of Asaph, isn't it, who we had this morning. Asaph, whose heart longed for the things of this world, the temporal things, the temporal blessings of this world. And he couldn't remove those urgent desires to go in that way. He couldn't remove it from his own heart. What a mercy it was that it became a grief unto him. And the Lord caused it to be so. It was through the teaching of the Spirit. The Spirit of God caused him to realize, oh, that although his heart desired the ways of this world, it wasn't in accordance with the ways and the will of God for the blessing of his soul. And there was nothing he could do about it. And his conscience was pricked. Dear friends, do you know what it is for your conscience to be pricked on account of your sin, which is so strong within you to go your own way and just live unto yourselves? Oh, how solemnly multitudes go that way. It's called the broad way. Jesus spoke of it, didn't he? The broad way through which multitudes go in, and through that gate that leads unto destruction. But there's a straight gate. That means narrow gate. And a narrow way that leads unto life eternal. Few there be that find it. Dear friends, we need the Holy Spirit of God to show us what it is, to teach us. Because if we are born dead in trespasses and in sins, as the scripture tells us, if we are dead, we've got no ability to find it ourselves, have we? But dear friends, through the solemn teaching of the word, that if we remain lost in that broad way, only endeavouring to satisfy our own selves physically and practically for the good of our own minds and our heart's desires and our own will. Oh, dear friends, if we're left to that, solemn it is. But if that word, if that solemnity has an effect upon your heart, as we read it and as it's preached to you, causes you to have these pricks of your conscience, pricks of your heart, like Asaph did. Dear friends, that's the teaching of the Spirit. That's the beginning of a work of grace. It begins you to seek, you become a seeking soul. You are greatly concerned lest you would not receive of the love of Christ to save your souls. And it causes you to pray, doesn't it? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, dear friends, the answer to Asaph was when he entered into the sanctuary. The sanctuary may have been a physical place, whatever the construction was. A place of worship. But within there, there was the presence of God revealed to him. And he was drawn into it by the power of the Holy Ghost. To show that, oh, if his heart remained as it was in and of itself, he would be lost forevermore in a solemn eternity. Causing him, yes, to cry, give me Christ or else I die. For dear friends, although Christ wasn't born at that time, those who were the children of God, they looked by faith to the coming of Christ. They looked by faith to the promise in the Garden of Eden. The seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head, and only he could destroy the power of sin. And the Lord would be gracious to whom he would be gracious. He would show mercy to whom he would show mercy. And so was Asaph. For we testify, didn't he? The Lord held him by the hand. He called him. He called him into that sanctuary at the time when he would bless him. Oh, dear friends, do you ever pray? I trust you have prayed for such a time like that in your own lives, that in coming to the house of God, the sanctuary, the chapel, you will find his presence here. The sound of his voice, not the voice of the minister. Oh, my own words won't do us any good, will they? It has to be the power of the Holy Ghost speaking through his word to the blessing of our soul. Came into the sanctuary, and there he found the salvation of his soul, and that changed his heart. He came to praise and bless God, didn't he? Oh, whom have I in heaven but thee? Who am I in earth but thee? He lost all his love now of the things of this earth. His desire was to serve the Lord. It's good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Dear friends, the Lord is sovereign how he works. He doesn't work the same in every one of his people, does he? Not everyone is like Asaph, a Levite, who was called to serve in the tabernacle and had these terrible conflicts within him. He desired to go the way of the wicked. We read of one this afternoon named Zacchaeus in the days of Jesus. Zacchaeus was one who desired to go the way of the wicked, to enjoy all the riches of this world. And he went that way. He had no qualms about the way he was going. But dear friends, he was one of the Lord's people. And that time of the Lord's love came to him. Jesus was passing through Jericho. There was a purpose for him to go through Jericho. Yes, Zacchaeus was there. Oh, blind Bartimaeus was there. Dear friends, the Lord did not go anywhere randomly by chance. He went to seek and to save those that were lost. And what a mercy he still does. Oh, how we all need for the Lord to come and grant us that change of our hearts, the blessing of our souls. Oh, Zacchaeus, he was given an inquisitive spirit. He heard that Jesus was coming. He was small. There was a crowd of people. He couldn't see what was going on. He climbed that sycamore tree. Dear friends, that was the leading of the Holy Spirit, to bring him to a place where the Lord would call him down. Yes, we might say, oh, we've all got inquisitive spirits. At times you want to see what's going on. But dear friends, the Lord's people know at a time when the Lord will lead them to a particular place for his blessing. As Jesus passed by, he looked up. He knew who was there. Zacchaeus, come down. No one had to tell Jesus what the name of this man was, this publican, who delighted in his riches and deceived many by the money which he took from them. He was a thief as well, wasn't he? Zacchaeus, come down, for today I must abide in thine house. Did he rebel? Did he say no? No. Dear friends, where the power of the word of the Lord is, there is a constraining of the soul, of the heart, should I say, and of the mind, of the very being, to obey his voice. It overturns your own wills. It overturns your own thoughts. It's the power of the word of God in your heart to save your soul. He came down. Jesus went to his house. And oh, how he confessed. He confessed that if he'd taken money from any by false accusation, he would restore them fourfold, and so on. And Jesus says, today is salvation come to this house. Salvation. Zacchaeus became a repentant sinner, didn't he? Through the power of the word of God, the word of Jesus, a repentant sinner. Repentance means a turning away, going away the other way. Instead of now going in the way which he was as a publican, deceiving and love of money, he now became a lover of Jesus, who had saved his soul, turned his heart, from unbelief to saving faith in Christ. Dear friends, these accounts are left on record for us, aren't they? How many we find of them, don't we? Or you can speak of that legion. Jesus went over the sea. Let us go over to the other side. Yes, there was the storm. Came on the sea, you might say, oh, Was that the will of Satan to prevent them going? No. If it was, the Lord overturned it, didn't he? When they got there, there was this madman. Therefore, no one could tame him. Lived in the tombs, cutting himself with stones, crying. But when he saw Jesus, he called him Lord. He knew whom Jesus was. Who taught him that? Well, yes, we are taught that the devils are aware of God and of Christ. But hast thou come to torment us before the time? Oh, dear friends, this madman Legion, he knew that he was a great sinner. He was ruled by devils. And dear friends, it was the Spirit working within him that brought him to fall at Jesus' feet and cry out that the devils, if the Lord would remove them from him, oh, they would go into those pigs that were feasting a good way away. Dear friends, here we see the power of God for the blessing of his people. Who would say that this madman was a child of God? No one by any human reasoning. But when God, Jesus, commanded those devils to depart from him into those pigs, what happened to the pigs? They ran down into the sea and were drowned. They were all now dead pigs. But with those devils in that man Legion, they were not permitted to take his life. He was one of the Lord's people. He was one of the Lord's in whom the power to save would be made manifest. Oh, the power of Christ, the Son of God, over the power of evil, that which destroyed Satan's power. In fact, it's the same today. There's no one outside the power of the saving grace of Jesus Christ, for whom he came to save. Oh, we will judge, won't we? We will say, oh, there's no hope for that one. There's no hope for that one there. They're too great a sinner. No. If they're foreknown by God, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, they shall come. They shall not depart into that dreadful place prepared for the devil and his angels. No. Oh, those pigs, they've got no souls, had they? Beasts don't. There was nothing to restrain them from all with the power of the devil within them. They just went and took their own lives out of the turmoil which had come upon them. But the power of God was far greater than these devils in the man whom Jesus came to save. Oh, dear friends, let us not speak lightly of Christ, the Son of God. Whoever is part of the Godhead, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost. The fullness of the Godhead was ever in him bodily. He is God, ever shall be God. The power of God. Without him was not anything made that was made. Oh, don't speak lightly of Christ. Many do, don't they? Because they do not know him. They do not know of this saving grace, of his power to save. Oh, that man, that legion wanted to go with Jesus and stay with him. No, Jesus said, no, go home to thy friends and tell them all that the Lord hath done for thee. Oh, wasn't that, was that the case of Asa? In that verse we had this morning. It is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Oh, dear friends, where the Lord begins this good work in you, saves you by his grace, the new birth, as Jesus puts it, Ye must be born again. We must know something of it. Then, dear friends, it's vital to seek it, isn't it? Give me Christ or else I die. Well, we read very much of the Apostle Paul, or should I say Saul of Tarsus. Well, we won't go into the details of Saul. But we know that on that Damascus road he was a hater of the things of Jesus, even hailing to prison and even unto death, testifying against those who believed in Jesus. But that time come, and no one could have told when it would come, even if it would come, even. That on the way to Damascus, that bright light from heaven shone. Saul fell to the ground, and that voice, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" It was Jesus. Oh, what a revelation. Dear friends, there was the changing of Saul's heart. His hard heart became soft. His nature's blindness of the spirit became light, although he was blind physically for a time. When Ananias came and through the power of God took that blindness away from Saul, Saul began to preach that Jesus was the Son of God. That which he denied, that which he hated. Oh, what a change came about. Dear friends, we all need this change, you know, of our natural heart and mind. The Lord knows what he will use. I often use as a comparison to Saul as that of Ruth. Dear friends, what changed the heart of Ruth? She was a Moabitess, born far off outside the commonwealth of Israel, without God, without hope in this world. But through a famine, Naomi and her husband Elimelech went down. Many would judge them for leaving Bethlehem at a time of famine rather than staying and praying. But they went down with their two sons for the food. They were taking care of their sons. But they didn't just sojourn there. They didn't just go there temporarily. Why, after 10 years, there'd been the death of Elimelech, Naomi's husband, there'd been the death of Mahlon and Chilion, her two sons. And those three women were left on their own, unable to provide for themselves as it would be in those days. And Naomi says, "I will return." Of course, she'd heard that their famine was ended in Bethlehem. She tried to persuade her daughters-in-law to go back to their own country, to have other husbands and bear children, which was the natural desire, which Orpah did, but not Ruth, no. It was the Spirit. It was the Spirit of God which came down and taught her there was more to life than just earthly things. "Thy God," she said, "will be my God. Where thou livest will I live. Where thou diest will I die. Thy God shall be my God. Where thou hast buried, I will be buried. Thy people shall be my people." Oh, dear friends, what a teaching, what a desire for a tender young lady like Ruth. Dear friends, we must have this evidence. We must have this evidence of the change of our hearts. It'd be like light in darkness. As Paul says, "God who hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our heart to give the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Well, dear friends, we not might be an Asaph. We're not a Zacchaeus. We're not a Saul of Tarsus. We're not a Ruth. But, dear friends, are we a child of God? You know, my mind goes and has gone in thinking of this word. I haven't really quoted the text again, have I? Concerning the preaching of the gospel. That's what we come to the house of God for, isn't it? Yes, to worship, to praise Him, because of the good news, the hope in the gospel for sinners such as we. And we desire to hear His voice, a voice of love, a voice of mercy through Christ's death on Calvary's cross. Not just to hear it in our ears, but to receive it in our hearts. As it was when the Apostle Paul went to Thessalonica. He writes to them, doesn't he, in his epistle. Knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. Your election of God. For our gospel came not to you in word only. It didn't just come and they heard it in their head, with their ears in their heads. No, not in word only, but in the power of the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. It assured their conscience, assured their heart, that Christ came into the world to save sinners. It convinced them of their sin, their need of a Saviour. Oh, when they received it as the Word of God, not as the Word of man. Such was the power of the Spirit upon them. Now, dear friends, that's what we need in this day, isn't it? Or by whatever means the Lord may use, to give us true believing views of Jesus, the Saviour of sinners. Now, be it when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of Himself. No, He'll speak of Jesus. What has He got to testify of Jesus? Well, we read in verse 7 of this chapter. Nevertheless, says Jesus, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And He will not speak of Himself. It is expedient for you that I go away. Where was He going? He was going to Calvary's cross. He was going to suffer on the account of all the sins of all His people. He was going to destroy the power of sin, which is through Satan's power. He was going to give them life, eternal life, after they died in the flesh. Oh, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. Because He'd have nothing to testify of, would He? There's only one way. There's only one way to eternal life. Oh, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, He said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. There's no death without sin, is there? Jesus then felt the sins, imputed to Him of all His people. He'd been tempted in all points such as they are, yet He without sin. But, being pure and holy, He was able then to bear the sins of many, that His blood would be sufficient to cancel out from under the law all the sins of His people. Without the shedding of blood, no remission of sins. Because it was the demand of the law, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And nothing was redeemed but by that shed blood. And it had to be innocent blood, not guilty blood. We can't pay the price for our sins except through death, destruction and despair. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sins. My soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. You know, some weeks ago I was speaking to someone And they were saying there was a difficulty to believe when Jesus died. Because he said to the Jews regarding a sign, no sign shall be given except the sign of Jonah, who was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. And they were saying, well, Jesus was not 3 days and three nights in the earth. When he was buried, it was only, you might say, 2 nights and a minimum of 2 days when he rose again on the first day of the week. And many have debated. Oh, that there's a discrepancy between the sign of Jesus, his death and resurrection, as a sign, and what he actually took place. And they say he did not die on the Friday. He must have died on the Thursday, put in the grave on the Thursday. Well, dear friends, let us not debate things to a confusion. You know, I thought about this. When Jonah was thrown into the sea, he wasn't dead. No, after he was swallowed by the fish. He was in the fish's belly for 3 days and three nights. And he did come again onto dry land. Jesus says, my words are spirit, and they are life. Dear friends, when he took upon himself the sins of his people, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Was that not the beginning of his sufferings? The sign of his sufferings on account of the sins of his people? That was on that evening when he was taken from the Garden of Gethsemane. He was crucified towards the evening. Well, he died towards the evening of the next day. And then he was buried. And then the next day was the Sabbath day. And there was another morning and another evening. And then there was the morning of the first day of the week. You can easily have 3 days and three nights in those times. As Christ suffered for sins of his people. Upon his soul. It was a spiritual suffering, wasn't it? Yes, as well as the agony of his body. But he was poured out his soul unto death. There he bore the sins of many. Oh, dear friends, there's no discrepancies in Scripture. No, it all blends together under the spiritual teaching of the work of Christ. And after that suffering, oh, it is finished. It is finished. The price has been paid. Blood has been shed, innocent blood. He has been made sin. Jesus said, I have been made sin. Oh, for his people. To establish that righteousness of his people. That where their sins were laid on him, his righteousness in obedience to the Father's will is imputed them to them. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. So we have this work of the Spirit, don't we? As Jesus says here, the teaching of the Spirit. Oh, when he is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into sin. He will guide you into righteousness. He will guide you into judgment, what those things mean. Sin because they believe not on me. Oh, there's our state by nature, isn't it? We do not believe in our nature. We may have knowledge of Jesus Christ. We may say, yes, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. The same way as you can say in England that Jesus... Sorry, and you say in England that King Henry VIII was the King of England. You look back in history. You've read it. You understand it. You believe it to be true. But it only enters your head. It doesn't go affect your heart and soul and mind, does it? You know, the Holy Scriptures can be like that. But when the Holy Spirit is come, he will lead you into the truth. The truth that, oh, the dreadful nature of our sin, which causes us to grieve over it, and to look unto Jesus, who is the provider of our righteousness, the forgiver of our sins, through his shed blood on Calvary's cross, to put away our judgments. I have put away thy judgments, says Jesus in the prophecy of Zephaniah. Oh, we're to rejoice. Oh, that he has done this, his work, this work, great work of redemption, paying the price for our sins. So there's the cleansing of our soul for those that believe in Jesus. As it's said of Abraham, he believed in God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Oh, dear friends, we need the Holy Spirit to cause us to savingly believe, don't we? The knowledge of our sin, the knowledge of Christ's righteousness, oh, his sufferings, his death, to look upon him whom we have pierced, to look by faith, and to hear that voice of love and mercy. Thy sins, which are many, are all forgiven thee. All your judgments are now put away, aren't they? The teaching of the Holy Spirit. Oh, you often hear me quote that line of that verse of a hymn, which is the vital prayer, dear friends, isn't it? Spirit of truth, come down. Reveal the things of God. Make to us, or make to me, salvation known. Witness with the blood. For no man can truly say that Jesus is the Lord, unless thou take the veil, as the veil of unbelief, veil away and breathe the living word, the breath of God in the power of the Spirit. It's vital, isn't it? That we become sinners, saved by grace, with hope of eternal life. Oh, if Christ had not gone away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But as Christ has gone away, oh, I will pray the Father, he will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will guide you into all truth. That whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Show you things to come. You can look now, can't you? It's an unknown way physically, yes. An unknown way, we don't know what another day may bring forth. But dear friends, there is the hope of eternal life. He will show you what is to come. That good hope of eternal life through the saving grace of Jesus. Oh, dear friends, what a revelation. Christ in you, the hope of glory. As I mentioned this morning, what Jesus, oh, a couple of chapters earlier on, didn't he say to his disciples? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself. Oh, dear friends, that's what we watch and wait for, isn't it? Dear friends, we know not when the Lord will come again. Oh, the last days have been going on since he ascended into heaven. The testimony was, he shall come. And that will be the end of all things upon this earth. The heavens roll together as a scroll, and the earth will burn like fire. The end of all that is corrupt and sinful. But those for whom Christ died, for those whom he's gone to prayer up to prepare a place for, that where I am, there ye shall be also in heaven above. Oh, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. And dear friends, we shall then realize that this world is not our home. We're passing through. And dear friends, it'll be a passing through for two reasons, or one reason or the other. It'll either be that we're like the tares of which Jesus spoke of, the planting of Satan, and we bring no fruit to his honour and glory. Or we're of the wheat planted by Christ, who shall bring forth fruit to his honour and glory. That honour and glory which is, oh, praise to his name, living in accordance with his will, obeying his voice, all his will esteem, walking humbly with our God. For he has showed thee what is good. What doth he require of thee but to do justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Let thy good spirit, the prayer is, isn't it now, to rule our heart and govern all our words and ways. Peter speaks of those who believed through the testimony of the Spirit. He speaks of that place reserved in heaven for you. Reserved. The price has been paid. Your name is on it. Your names are graven on the palms of Jesus' hands, where he shed that blood on Calvary's cross. And it'll never be erased. Oh, the payment of the price of sin is shed blood. And for you is prepared, reserved, a place in heaven. Oh, dear friends, may we ever know the influence of the Holy Spirit upon us, in our lives, to call us from nature's darkness into his most marvellous light, and keep us looking unto Jesus. When the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Amen.